Now let's read God's word together. First of all, and this reading is not on the order of service, but we read first of all in Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 1. You may remember that Paul is under a great deal of pressure from the church in Corinth. Many people have criticized him because of his less than impressive displays in the pulpit, as they perceive it. A great comfort to many of us to have to stand in pulpits Sunday by Sunday. But also many other issues which amount to personal attacks on Paul. And so the apostle writes this from verse 1 of chapter 10. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You are looking only on the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he. For even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say, his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Some people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. Thanks be to God. And again, in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 4 at verse 31. Luke chapter 4 at verse 31. Last week we heard of the very negative response to Jesus' preaching in his hometown. And we take up the narrative from there in Luke chapter 4 at verse 31. Then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching, because his message had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "How? What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Thanks be to God for his word to us, and may he give us grace to lay hold on his truth for application to our lives. Now let us pray. God our Father, we give thanks to you for this season of the Christian year, when we are reminded of your great work for us. But also it's good to be reminded that Jesus, our Lord, was steeped in human experience to the very depths of darkness. And we thank you also to be reminded of the work to which we are called as Christian people, to oppose the darkness and to establish your kingdom here on earth. So bless us now as we seek to have deeper insight into our calling. Bless us now as we seek to gather the resources we need to be your witnesses of light. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last week, friends, Pope Benedict was giving a question and answer session to a number of young people in Rome. I believe this was something which was established by his predecessor, but which he's been happy to continue. And in the course of the question and answer session, the issue about his own personal call to the priesthood was raised. And he gave a very interesting answer to that. He said, as a young person being brought up in Nazi Germany, he was very much aware of the brutality to which humankind could stoop. He was very much aware of the inhumanity and the power of human beings to destroy the lives of others, and it occurred to him as a young man at that time that what his country needed more than anything else was priests. Now I take it from that what he meant was that what his country needed more than anything else was people who would represent the Lord Jesus Christ and also bring his word of light, his word of hope, his word of humanity into the midst of the darkness which the Nazi regime had established in that place. And I was very interested to read that, because with my mind on the passage that we read from Luke's Gospel earlier, it seemed to me that our Lord Jesus Christ was constantly engaged in conflict with the darkness that each and every one of us experiences in this life that we are called to live. But more specifically, and there's no way that we can really get around this, Jesus was called to conflict with evil powers, with what the Bible describes as evil spirits or demons. And we can always be dismissive of this, saying that Jesus and his contemporaries belong to a pre-scientific culture, and that any bad things that happen, disturbance in people's minds, disturbances in their health, nasty things that happened in the world at large, all that was attributed to demons. And therefore we really should not take this too seriously. Well, it's true that nowadays we are more knowledgeable. We do have more scientific knowledge. But what I would say to you this morning, friends, is I do think it's a little arrogant for us to assume that we know everything about the spiritual world, to assume that we know more than Jesus and the gospel writers about the nature of the spiritual world. There comes a time, I believe, when we have to be humble before ancient wisdom. Having said all that, I would have to emphasize to you that I do believe that nowadays demonic possession, as it is depicted in the Gospels, is extremely rare nowadays. And I say that for this reason, that when Jesus was on this earth, the Son of God, the Word become flesh, when he was on this earth, there were many unique things which happened. Many things happened which will never be repeated on this earth. And by that I mean many of the miracles that Jesus himself performed. But I think also that the reaction to Jesus being on this earth was unique. And that perhaps in that particular time and in the particular place where Jesus exercised his ministry, the dark powers were more active than they have ever been and will ever be. So we do have to be careful whenever we ascribe bad things that happen in the world to the influence of demons. I've heard many Christian people, and I'm afraid some colleagues, being very irresponsible in the way that they deal with this whole issue. I think we have to be very, very careful before we ascribe all the things that we don't like in the world to the influence of demonic powers. But one thing has to be emphasized, and I hope that each and every one of us is able to take this seriously, that evil does exist in the world, that evil does have a powerful influence over the lives of men and women, and that it is possible for people to choose to take an evil course in their lives. That is a reality of which I personally am convinced, and of which is confirmed in my reading of the Gospels and also the letters of the Apostles. But there is one other thing that we have to take seriously. While recognizing the existence of the darkness, and while recognizing the possibility of the darkness influencing human events, we also have to be quite clear as Christian men and women that we are called to oppose this darkness. And we are also called in the end to overcome it. Now how do we go about that? What is our practical response once we have established that there is a battle out there for us to fight? Well, I believe that the passage that we read, this short passage, has some indication of the way forward in this battle against the darkness. Because what we find in this episode in the synagogue in Capernaum is that the words of Jesus were powerful in the battle, but also the character of Jesus was powerful in the battle. The scenario is very familiar to us. You know, you've heard me say once before that the experience of being in a synagogue on the Sabbath for a Jewish person in Jesus' day was not a very pleasant one. It was mind-numbing and soul-destroying to hear the rabbis not preaching from their hearts, not having got in touch with the truth of God's word, but virtually reading off what ancient authorities said about the scriptures. The effect of it was perhaps like me coming into the pulpit on the Lord's Day and just reading out to you a sermon that was written in the 18th century. It was that kind of effect that the teaching of the rabbis had upon the people, mind-numbing and soul-destroying. And yet, whenever Jesus preached, there were incredible events were in attendant always whenever Jesus preached. Remember last week, we were talking about the time when the crowd protested so strongly at what Jesus was saying that they took him to the edge of a cliff and we're going to throw him over. And today we're considering that episode. Jesus preaching in the synagogue, and there was a disturbance from one man who was said to be possessed by an evil spirit. And it's quite interesting that when he cries out in the midst of Jesus preaching, that he's not defiant in any way, this evil spirit. He actually feels threatened. Verse 34, we find the words of the evil spirit. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus is there. Jesus is preaching. And this denizen of the darkness, this influence for evil, feels under threat. He realizes that his conqueror is present and means business with him. Now, this is something that I believe we have to take more seriously, friends. Whenever we're thinking of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, it was never meant to be mind-numbing and soul-destroying. The gospel is given to us as a power. The gospel is given to us as a weapon to wield against the darkness. When Jesus preached, this evil influence within the congregation that he stood before was stirred up in fear. And the gospel should be having that effect on the darkness that we know in our world. Read the Apostle Paul. Read what he says in Ephesians chapter 6. He saw himself as a Christian warrior, as one who had to be defended against the darkness. And in chapter 6, you'll find the different parts of the Christian armour that we ourselves have to put on to defend ourselves. But there is one offensive weapon that we are called to wield. And what is that offensive weapon in the eyes of Paul? Paul talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If we really mean to challenge the darkness around us, all those things that cause us pain whenever we look out at the world, then we have to keep a firm grip on the Word of God and to use it to destroy the ideas, to destroy the arguments, to destroy the influences that are seeking to undermine the kingdom of God in our day and in our generation. That's what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. When he said that we don't have the weapons that the world has, but what we do have are weapons which can attack dominions. Weapons that can attack strongholds and destroy arguments and scatter the darkness that we oppose. And that's something to remember whenever we feel downhearted, whenever we feel as if we're losing the battle. I remember a senior colleague coming alongside of me in a day like that and saying, we can never allow ourselves to become depressed. We can never allow ourselves to feel that we're losing the battle. God has placed his word of truth in our hands. He has given us the gospel. And we have to continue to wield that weapon against the darkness. Friends, believe it. Believe that the word of God is powerful to deal with those things which seek to undermine our humanity, which seek to establish brutality as the rule of life. Your word is powerful. Whenever you see something that is unjust in the world, and you feel you have to protest either by word or by letter, that word is powerful. And your word is powerful Whenever you see standards, gospel standards, flouted in our community and in the nation at large, and you feel moved to protest, you're not just adding to the amount of words in the world, because you're wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And your Word is powerful. Whenever you have a friend who is downhearted, who is under pressure because of disappointment or even because of disgrace, and you can remind them of the promises of God and to raise them up to a position of hope once again. That word is powerful because it's the word of God. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And why are you not ashamed of the gospel, Paul? Because he says it's the power of God for the salvation of men and women. So Jesus spoke the words and the demon was on the run. But this demon was also disturbed by the person that Jesus was. The demon says, I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. Isn't that interesting? Just as a wee aside. That in all this confusion nowadays about who Jesus was he really the Son of God? Was he just a clever Jewish rabbi? Was he just a charismatic teacher? Tell you this, the demons are in no doubt. They know who he is because of the power of his personality. If you're a demon, then here's your worst nightmare. You're someone who is coming from the darkness, and here is the one who reflects the very glory of God, the light of the eternal God. And here is someone who, if you are coming from a background of corruption in order to spread corruption, here is the only pure human being who has ever existed in this world. Here is someone you don't want anything to do with. Someone you don't want to mix with. It would just be too much. The very being of our Lord Jesus Christ set the darkness on the run. Now, I'm challenged by this on a very personal level, friends. Because when I read this scripture and I think about it, I have to ask myself that if I was present in that synagogue 2,000 years ago, with that evil presence abroad, would there be enough of Christ in me to challenge that evil influence? And I ask you the same this morning. Would there be enough of Christ in you to challenge the very existence of the darkness? And we have to ask ourselves that question this morning, friends, because we are a people who are not just called to bear a message, but we are called also to be a message to this world. Not just to be a people who protest against evil, but a people who show that evil has no place in our lives. Do you remember those very first Christians in the Acts of the Apostles? We're going very slowly through the Acts of the Apostles at evening service at present. And there is one particular passage that I always find intriguing and which always challenges me. It's the fact that the people in the society round about the early church were in awe at these Christians, at all the miraculous things that were happening in their midst. They were in awe in their presence. And we're told at one point that people dared not join them. But nevertheless, the attraction was very strong. And eventually they found themselves in the midst of the church's fellowship. What was going on there? I think that these people were challenged personally by the quality of the early church's life, but in the end they found it irresistible. They were there because of the kind of people that the Christians were. And that is a huge challenge for all of us in whatever church we find ourselves nowadays. We're not just called to bear a message. We are called to live our lives as if they were a message. Not so long ago, I was reading a book about the Scottish artist, controversial artist, Peter Howson, who is also a Christian. And there was one particular incident in his life which I found very thought-provoking. The writer of his biography took him one day to the Prado Museum in Madrid, where there hangs many great masterpieces. And at one point, Peter Howson stood before a painting by Goya, and he became very intense as he stood before this painting. And it looked as if he was becoming actually quite disturbed as he stood before this painting. But eventually, after what seemed to be such a long time, he turned to his friend and said, "Now I understand what I've been doing wrong for the last 6 months. Now I understand what I've been doing wrong for the last 6 months." This gifted artist, but he felt that he had come into contact with something that was pretty near to perfection, and which revealed the shortcoming in his own art. And what I have to ask myself, when I think of the being of Jesus and the power that it had over the darkness, I have to ask myself that when people are confronted with my life, is it necessary for me to speak a message, or does that life itself have a message? Is there some quality there which will make people consider and understand that what they've been doing in the past is wrong? That's the power of Christ. We'll never be perfect, you and me, but Jesus does call us to be the salt of the earth, to preserve the things that are good. He does call us to be the light of the world, to dispel the forces of darkness. And we are less than Christian disciples, and we are less than respectful towards the sacrifice that he has made for us, if we don't stretch towards that standard in our lives, preserving what's good and pushing back the darkness. Friends, in this season of Lent, it's traditional for us to acknowledge the evil in our own lives, to acknowledge the evil in the world, and to acknowledge that we are called to engage in conflict with this evil. But we are also called to put our faith in the power of Christ, because we are assured that in that power we shall overcome. Now let's pray. God our Father, we thank you that your gospel comes to us with encouragement and also with hope. And we ask that you would enable us in the power of your Spirit to understand where we ourselves are going wrong, so that there might be a true and powerful witness to Christ, not only in what we preach, but in the way that we live. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.